Good morning, I'm Carol Fry, and today I'll be reviewing the film Public Enemies. The film industry has created or maybe adapted to several cultural mythos. One is the Western, with its cast of characters, including the hard-riding, straight-shooting, taciturn Western hero, defending settlers and communities from evildoers while he shyly romances a local schoolmarm. Another distinctly American mythos is the gangster film, which became popular in the 1930s with actors like James Cagney and Edward G. Robinson playing criminals who hang out with the Gunsel's Mall instead of the schoolmarm and get their just desserts at the Fade. The gangster movie underwent a sea change with the production of Bonnie and Clyde in 1967, ushering in a whole new kind of criminal, just as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid marked the demise of the traditional Western hero 2 years later. The times they were changing, and these films gave us bad guys who were sort of good guys and criminals but portrayed sympathetically, leading to the more recent products such as The Godfather and a TV series of Sopranos. The most recent incarnation of the gangster film is Public Enemies. Public Enemies is hyped as based on a true story, which is a partially true statement, as it recounts the final years of bank robber John Dillinger's life, with a lot of romantic fluff added. The opening has Dillinger, played with a bravura performance by Johnny Depp, on the way to prison, but he's busted out even before he gets his prison garb. Then he goes back to his professional interest, robbing banks, an endeavor in which he definitely excels, getting in and out with the cash, as he tells someone, in less than 2 minutes. Dillinger's success catches the attention of J. Edgar Hoover, who is just getting his idea for the FBI going. His philosophy is to hire, quote, young men of the best sort, as agents. He then recruits Melvin Purvis, played by Christian Bale here, to lead the hunt for Dillinger. But Purvis soon finds that young men of the best sort don't match up well with hardened criminals with Tommy guns. So Purvis insists on recruiting thugs to chase thugs, and the contest is on. And a good contest it is. It's non-stop flight and pursuit, with shootouts with agents and gangsters blasting away at each other with Tommy guns, with little effect, by the way. Both parties are absurdly bad shots. Director Michael Mann catches the ambiance of Depression-era America well in the visual elements of the film. Also, Depp is surely our finest male movie actor today, with the range to play Peter Pan-type pirates in Pirates of the Caribbean, to serious roles in The Ninth Gate and Sweeney Todd, and he takes over this film. Mann uses close-ups to catch a range of emotions for his character, including his love obsession with Billy Frechette, played by Marion Cotillard. There's a good bit of real history here, as well as a review of the characters who populate the gangster mythos universe. Pretty Boy Floyd, Babyface Nelson, Frank Nitti, and others. Now, we all know that history is an inexact field. It depends on the perspective of the teller of the past event. Writers and filmmakers make fast and loose with history, and I have no problem with that. So, reimagining Dillinger is fine. I just have trouble with movies that glamorize psychopathic criminals. The film shows Dillinger's final demise beginning when he works with Floyd and Nelson, who are bad psychopaths. The film's Dillinger is a criminal who doesn't exactly have a heart of gold, but whose love for Billy and the close-ups that bring them into our laps creates sympathy. What next? Turning Charles Manson into a misunderstood hero? Well, maybe I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I enjoyed the film until I started thinking about it. It has its weaknesses, especially Christian Bale's performance. Purvis is supposed to be a good old boy southerner, and to cover up dealing with an accent, the British Bale mumbles a good deal. His portrayal of Purvis is so rigid that he makes Depp's character more sympathetic. The sound's muddy throughout. The film's quite dark, perhaps because it was shot in digital tape rather than on film, but it's a dark tale. But it's a good popcorn movie, and I'll give it 3.5 bags out of 5, small soda included.